Good morning, everybody. I've got a little bit of a voice thing going on, so I might collapse halfway through. That's not an answer to prayer, I hope. I just want to share some thoughts with you this morning. Aren't you good? Aren't you glad that God just loves ordinary people? He just makes such that you don't have to do anything or be anything. God just loves us, and we can come together as ordinary people and just worship Him. And just allow Him to do something in our hearts and in our lives. And this morning, as we've worshipped, we've sang some really powerful words. And we put our faith, that we add faith to what we're singing, because that's what pleases God. That's what connects us with God. Faith. All right, keep dropping that. I'm going to change the battery before I start. And then... So... We're kind of in our preparation for Christmas, aren't we? We're looking at the coming of Jesus. I just want to talk about that a little bit this morning in preparation for what we believe and what we put our trust and our faith in. And it's, I think it's really important that we know what we believe and we know why we believe it. And if you come here, we try and teach that each Sunday morning, our connection with God and how He wants to impart into our lives, how He wants to be included in everything that we do. He's a God that cares about us. And He wants to work in us and bring that personal transformation. And we really believe that. Sue last week was talking about the truth about Jesus. And it's important that we understand that what the Bible tells us about Jesus is the truth. Without that in our hearts, we've got no connection to God. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit that reveals truth to our hearts. It's one of the roles, it's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit that He takes hold of what is God's and He reveals it to our heart. And we often talk about the mystery of the gospel because it's something that is beyond our natural understanding. It's something that is revealed to our heart. As we seek Him, He says we will find Him. But the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of who Jesus is to our heart. And I want to talk this morning about why did Jesus have to come? Did He have to? Been another way? Could there have been an alternative way to this connection with God that we have other than Jesus coming? And so we're talking about the man Jesus. That's the title of my message this morning, the man Jesus. Because He came as man, He didn't come as God. And we just want to explore that for a few minutes this morning. The time the New Testament was written, and it's always important to remember that when the New Testament was written, the time of the early church, the culture is totally different than our culture. And some of the things that Jesus talked about, some of the things that are written in the Bible are quite difficult for us to understand because it's a different culture altogether. And so we have to keep reminding ourselves about the culture of the time that Jesus came. And around that time, there were many religions, just as there are today. The Romans and Greeks had many gods. And if you read the New Testament around some of Paul's journeys, some of Paul's letters that he wrote, it's challenging this many god concept of religion. But they had many gods, and often these gods would visit the earth, if you know the stories. They would visit earth, and very often they would cause mischief, or they would take advantage of the fact that they were deity living amongst ordinary people. They would overwhelm people with their power and with their knowledge and with their attributes. And so the concept of God coming to earth is different than our God, the God coming to earth as man. What was new about God coming to earth as His Son, Jesus Christ, was that He came as an ordinary man. He took on the fleshly body that we have, and He lived amongst us as one of us. He gave up all His heavenly privileges and powers. We never see Jesus take advantage of who He was. He was always flesh and blood. There's a saying, and I'm sure that we've all heard it, that not until we've walked in the shoes or lived in the shoes of somebody, do we really understand who they are or what they've gone through? We can often look at people and go, oh, they've got it easy. They've got a better life than I've got. If only I had that life, it would all be different. I wouldn't be in the position that I am now. But it's not until we have lived with them that we realise what they've been through to get to where they are. And even today we can look at one another and go, oh, they've got it easy, or they've got life sorted out. Until you live in it, until you live in their shoes, you don't really understand what they've been through. As a young boy, and I was one once, I wanted to be a footballer. My whole life was revolved in around football. And I can remember coming up to Christmas, I always wanted something to do with football. And I can remember the first leather ball that I had. Do you remember the old, you boys will remember the old ones that we used to have. And I could kick it about 5 yards. It was so heavy. But I can remember I used to carry a ball everywhere I went. I wanted to be a footballer. And in fact, if you look at all photographs of me when I was a boy, there was a football somewhere near me. I love football. And I wanted to be a footballer. But now looking at the regime of a footballer, all the training they have to do, all the specialist foods and nutrition diets they have to go on, all that they have to go through, I'm not sure that I would have made it. Because very often we do the thing without going through all the hard work. We have a natural tendency to go down the easy route. Now, the idea of God coming to earth was always planned. If we read the Bible from beginning to end, we will see that there is a narrative all the way through about God's connection with the earth, God's connection with us as individuals on the earth, and how he wanted to live in us and with us, and how he wanted to be everything that we needed. That's the story of the Bible. But sin broke in, didn't it? And it separated us from God. And so God had a plan to actually make up that lack that we had, make up for the break in relationship, so that we could once again be in relationship with him. As we look at the Old Testament, we know that God spoke to the children of Israel through the prophets, and the prophets of God became the voice of God, giving direction, advice, and discipline to the whole nation. That's how God spoke to Israel, through the prophets. And they were always looking for the Messiah. That's the story of the Old Testament. They're always looking forward to when is the Messiah coming? Where is the one coming who is going to set us free? And so I just want to read some scriptures from Isaiah that we often read at this time of year, just to underline the fact that this is what the prophets were looking for. This is what the nation of Israel were looking for at the time. So Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. As those scriptures will be familiar to those who are mature in the faith, to those that have been on the way a long time. And we've celebrated something of Isaiah 53 this morning, that he gave his life that we might have life, that he took on himself the sin of us all, that we might have salvation through his death and his resurrection. So in the Old Testament, read that God spoke to the nation by chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe." So the writer of the book of Hebrews was looking at the truth and reality of this new covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. And during this period in their history, the early church was facing persecution, and we're wondering if their choice over the traditional law-based faith was valid. The key word associated with the book of Hebrews is better. This is a better way than what came before. The fact that Jesus came as man, he died for us, and he has given us this amazing gift of salvation is a better way than what we had in the past. The new covenant is far superior to the old covenant. Through Christ, the heart of God is revealed, and the language of God is seen through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've got to look at what Jesus did. We've got to look at his actions to see that his life just displayed who God was in every way. We always say, don't we, that actions speak louder than words. And it's true, because when people say something and then they don't do it, there is no connection there between what they're saying and what they're doing. But very often people who are recognized as good people are people who say it and do it. And Jesus certainly did that. He came, he lived a life that spoke to people about God's love, about his forgiveness, about his power over sin. He brought all that through his life. Through the life of Christ, we see the love of God and the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin, the power of God, as Jesus performed miracles on behalf of Father God. The scripture there that we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says that God created the universe. The humility of Christ to live as a man is immense. He created the universe, and yet he had to come down as a man and live amongst us. Jesus didn't hold on to his position in heaven, but willingly gave this up to demonstrate his love for us. It's really important that we understand that when Jesus came, he gave up everything to live as one of us. Hebrews 2 says this: "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." The plan of God was always to bring his salvation to the world. That had to be done through a sacrifice to fulfill the law. Christ's humanity was evidence in the fact that he died. No one could ever kill God, but through Jesus, he gave his life for each of us. The moment before his crucifixion, when he was talking with Pilate was saying, "But we're going to kill you. It's just going to happen." And Jesus said to Pilate, "No, you're not going to kill me. I'm going to give my life. I'm allowing you to do this because I want to demonstrate my humanity." Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this is the reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus became fully human in every way. And sometimes that's quite hard to understand, isn't it? That we've got this God who came to earth as a man. And he lived as a man in every way. It's clearly stated as we read these scriptures through Hebrews. You know, as a child growing up in church, I used to think that Jesus had superpowers and that he hid them very well. And if he was under a lot of pressure, he could suddenly demonstrate his superpowers, a bit like Superman. But the Bible is clear that any advantages that Jesus had were given up as he became a man. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was taken out of his heavenly position, and he came freely as a child and lived amongst us as a man. What that means is that he himself suffered when he was tempted. In other words, he understands what we're going through. And I think this is really important for us to get hold of. That Jesus came and lived as a man because he wanted to know what you go through and what I go through. He wants to know the pain that we face on a daily basis. He wants to understand the emotions that we feel. He wants to understand the frustrations we feel, the fears that we feel, the temptation that we face every day. Jesus has been there and done it. He's lived in our shoes, and he's got every right to say, I understand exactly what you're going through, because he does. He's walked in our shoes. He understands all about us. But he couldn't have done that if he'd come to earth as God. It would never have happened. He had to understand who we are, so that when we're praying to him, when we're asking him for those things that we're facing, he can go, understand what you're going through. I know exactly how you feel. But I can give you everything you need right now. When we're facing temptation, he was tempted. He understands temptation. And he can give us what we need to get through that period of temptation. Any demonstration of power in his life, and Jesus did demonstrate power, but it was the power of God. It wasn't the power he held. If you read about Jesus and his connection with his Father, he was always praying. He was always seeking Father's will. He was always asking for what he needed. And it was the power of God that healed people, not the power of Jesus. He always worked in conjunction with his Father. He trusted his Father for everything, including all the miracles that he performed. He came and lived as we live, but remained without sin. And he was the only sacrifice that could pay the debt of sin. So when we consider the birth of Jesus, we've got to remember that he came as a man. It's important that we get that. It's important we understand that Jesus came as a man. He didn't come as a super God. He didn't find life easy. He faced all the temptations. He faced all the things that we face in life. But he overcame them all. That's what made him different. And because he overcame, he paid the sacrifice for our sin when he died at Calvary. And he overcame the power of sin when he was resurrected. And that's why he can help us in our daily living to overcome the power that sin drives us to. We have a God that loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live amongst us, to be one of us, to understand our hearts, to understand our frustration, to understand how we live, so that when we pray, he goes, I know, I understand, I've got it. And so when we pray to God, we know that he understands us. We know that he can deal with all the stuff that we face because he's done it himself. And so we thank God for his birth. We thank God for his life on earth as a man. We thank him for his life and his sacrificial giving of his life that we might have life as well. So there is a truth about Jesus. He did live when he lived. There's plenty of evidence about that. And the Bible tells us that he lived as we live. He became man that he might understand us and offer himself as the sacrifice for sin. And we live in the benefit of that now. All those that know him, all those that have allowed him into their heart, all those that have asked for forgiveness of sin, understand what I'm talking about here when we just go, thank you, God, for coming to earth. What an amazing God we serve. He's compassionate, he's loving, and he really cares about each of us. Just bear that in mind as we come through the Christmas period, that he came to live as we live so that he understands what we face. Thank you, Michael.